Hello, you're listening to News Tribune on Top, The Fine Print, where we bring you the stories behind the stories. I'm your host, Mia Sanson, here with the latest headlines, newsroom reporter interviews, and a closer look at the stories shaping our community. We will be covering stories from Wednesday, December 17th, through Friday, December 19th. First up, we have a breaking news update on the investigation into the fatal shooting of Eric Spencer Jr. This case is now closed, and here to tell us more is our city editor.
Good morning. Today is the 19th of December. Early this morning, Jefferson City Police Chief Eric Wilde and Cole County Prosecuting Attorney Locke Thompson held a press conference regarding the shooting death of Eric Spencer Jr. If you recall, Spencer Jr. died November 1st outside Chili's in Jefferson City. For several months, his family has been asking investigators to release information about what occurred that evening. His mom, Lorraine Schofield, has been outspoken at City Hall during city meetings and has reached out to folks to try and get more information. On Thursday, Thompson handed his evidence to the grand jury, and they returned with a verdict of no charges against Spencer Scribner, the man who shot and killed Eric Spencer. Thursday was also the first time we heard the name of the person who shot Eric Spencer. And again, this morning, Wilde and Thompson held a press conference in which they tried to answer some of the questions about being open about the investigation. Unfortunately, the ongoing investigation prevented them from providing much information to the public until they had everything gathered. And what has come to pass is that the grand jury found that Mr. Scribner acted in defense of another person. Wilde laid out the situation that was occurring that evening with Eric Spencer outside the Chili's. He was in an apparent fight with his girlfriend, and witnesses said he hit and slapped her several times, knocked her down several times. Mr. Scribner was in a vehicle outside the restaurant, got out of that vehicle, went to his vehicle and pulled a gun from the trunk, and then went to Mr. Spencer and asked him to try to stop him from assaulting the woman. Apparently, Mr. Spencer made a move and a threat, and Mr. Scribner shot and killed him. So Thompson said specifically that Missouri's self-defense laws are some of the strongest in the country, and right or wrong or indifferent, he said, the state is bound by those laws, and the county is bound by those laws, and prosecutors are bound by those laws. So they both stated that the case is closed at this time. 14 eyewitnesses were interviewed for this, and their stories seem to corroborate each other. Although nobody knows exactly what was said between Spencer and Scribner. Scribner told the prosecuting attorney's office that Spencer threatened to kill him or shoot him. And eyewitnesses said he reached toward his waist or a pocket, and that's when the shooting occurred. So one of the challenges with trying to be open about the investigation is that if investigators, according to Wilde, said anything about the investigation, they were afraid it would influence the eyewitnesses. And they were so reliant on eyewitness testimony for this investigation that they couldn't take that chance. They did ask us to go ahead and make public records requests for the investigation, which we have already done. I'm sure other news media have done that as well. And so hopefully we'll see maybe even more detail that we are missing.
Thank you, Joe, for talking with us about this. The next story we're talking about is how some downtown business owners hope the city's proposed $25 parking tickets will discourage visitors from abusing the system. Here to tell us more is Steffi Smith.
Hi. So, as of right now, parking tickets in Jefferson City are as low as $6. It depends on if you park at a meter. If you go over the meter time, it's $6. If you are in one of those free spots on East High Street and you go past the allowed time, then it's $8. So it's pretty low parking tickets right now. And the city's parking operator company, PCI, Municipal Services, is proposing $25 parking tickets. Some people on social media were very upset about that and said that they would not be going to downtown businesses. They said that, you know, I think also some people were a little confused and thought that it was parking rates, because a lot of parking on East High Street is free, mm-hmm. and people like that. But it is just the parking ticket. So if you park too long, it'll be $25. But the business owners that I spoke to, at least most of them, they want the tickets to be a little bit higher. So it discourages people from doing, especially during the legislative session, people will park there all day in front of somebody's business, and then they don't get as much business inside because nobody can park right in front of their shop because the ticket is only $6, and they will just decide that they'll pay $6 to park there all day.
So, like you said, they don't know that this is a parking fine, not the parking fee. So they're going to stop going downtown and like supporting these businesses, but then the businesses are saying that this is going to help like more traffic coming into the business. But have they ever talked about just towing, or
they have not
ever been in the conversation?
They have not talked about towing. I don't think that, maybe it'd be pretty difficult. High Street is kind of a pretty narrow street, so maybe it'd be hard to get tow trucks down there. Yeah, that has not come up yet. They have talked about maybe changing or adjusting the rates, so people think that there is a chance that the PCI, Municipal Services, will start charging for that parking on High Street, and people are not very happy about that. The business owners I spoke to also, one that I spoke to yesterday, who called me after the story was up, but the owner of Coffee Zone, he said that he isn't worried about people no longer coming to his coffee shop, or he also owns Izzy's. He's not worried about it because he's like, well, it's free to park there, and I don't think that people are going to complain, you know. If you just don't park legally, you don't get the fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever gotten a parking ticket?
I actually have over there, like in front of the library.
I got a parking ticket. It was right in front of our new building. I got a parking ticket, and it's $6, and then if you wait 10 days, then it's $16, and I waited 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes, yeah, so don't wait.
Don't wait. Pay your parking ticket. For our final stories today, I will be giving a brief over our Christmas wish stories that were covered by Liz Garcia and Damon Grossfiener. The story that ran Thursday is a story highlighting Evan Hargis, a young man determined to build independence through hard work and perseverance. Earlier this year, Hargis began working at Capital Projects Incorporated, a sheltered workshop that provides employment opportunities for adults with intellectual and physical disabilities. Evan says the job has changed his life. Hargis has cerebral palsy and an intellectual disability, but those challenges haven't stopped him from wanting more independence. At Capital Projects, he works on an assembly line creating book bundles for schools, wrapping, stacking, and boxing books alongside coworkers he now calls friends. His manager, Tammy Bach, describes Evan as a hard worker who has grown more confident since starting his job. His mother, Tina Hargis, says the work has given him a purpose and space to grow outside of the day center he once attended with his twin brother. Evan's determination stood out from the start. When there were no job openings, he emailed every week until one became available. Now, the money he earns is going towards a big goal, buying a car. After taking an independent living class, Evan set his Christmas wish, earning his driver's license and learning how to drive on his own. For Evan, that license represents more than a milestone. It's a symbol of freedom, confidence, and independence he's worked so hard to achieve. The Christmas Wish story that ran on Friday, written by Liz Garcia, highlights Kamira Marshall. Marshall moved through Missouri's foster care system, passing through nearly 20 foster and residential homes. She says the experience left her feeling less like a child and more like a transaction, controlled, overlooked, and deeply hurt by repeated abuse and instability. At 16, Marshall arrived at Central Missouri Foster Care and Adoption Association, feeling broken and distrustful of adults who claimed to help. That began to change through the association's Community Connections Youth Project, which puts young people in charge of shaping their own futures. With support of CCYP specialist Ashley Whitehead, Marshall slowly learned to trust, heal, and advocate for herself. She graduated high school, landed her first job, and at 19, successfully petitioned the court to be released from foster care, a decision she says brought overwhelming relief and freedom. Today, Marshall is an activist speaking out against injustices in the foster care system and a young woman preparing to welcome her baby girl. Her Christmas wish is simple but powerful: to gather with family, break cycles of trauma, and protect her children from the pain she's endured. As Marshall steps into motherhood, she says one thing is certain: everything she does now, she does for her daughter. This concludes today's episode. You've been listening to News Tribune on Tap, The Fine Print, a production from the News Tribune. I'm your host, Mia Sanson. For more stories and in-depth reporting, visit newstribune.com, our social media channels, or pick up the latest edition. Thank you for joining us, and until next time.